back in time with a track from Foreigner, Say You Will. But nothing foreign about this station, it's your local Radio Life and Style, live from the heart of Bolita. Wednesday morning, it's time for a local catch-up with the local legal eagle, Gavin Steinhobel from Kloppers Inc. He's in the studio, just flown in. And good morning, Gavin. How are you on a Wednesday?
Yeah, great, Mike. Didn't come in on the bike today because of the rain.
Yeah, I figured you probably wouldn't be saddling up. But I mean, all things considered, it's a very welcome change in weather, I think. A little cooler.
Definitely.
An easy segue into winter.
I noticed as well that the sun's rising a bit later and setting a bit sooner. So I see it on my morning walk.
It's noticeable.
We're going to be walking in the dark soon at 6:30. So it's
a good headlamp is in order.
There we go.
No tripping on the boardwalk.
We don't really have like those pronounced seasons, and I'm sort of wonder. I often think about it. Like sometimes it is nice going into like a proper winter, you know, where it's properly cold and you pull out your winter willies. And here in Bolita, it's pretty mild in terms of winters. I mean, there's probably the champagne time in Bolita coming up now, where it's you don't have that oppressive heat and you've just got these glorious winter days. And
I love it. I think it's the best time of year, personally, weather-wise. But if you're looking for some real wintry cold stuff, aren't you doing an outride, a bike trip up into the Lesotho Mountains?
Soon. And I think the 2nd of June.
So that's going to be cold.
That's awesome.
That'll fill your cup.
The nice thing about cold weather is you can just, if you've got the right gear, it's not really an issue at all. Hey. You know.
And I've just seen that South Africa and the Kingdom of Lesotho will this week officially unveil the completed Senqu Bridge, marking a major milestone in the second phase of the 53 billion rand Lesotho Highlands Water Project. And it's a massive construction, high stilts, carrying it over this incredible valley that's going to be eventually filled
valley,
with water.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you'll be able to take a little detour over the long bridge.
I hope so.
Might be on your route.
I hope so. That'll be spectacular. Yeah. We've had some good bridge projects. I think there's a couple in the Transkei that are on the go, and they all seem to be going according to plan. So there are things happening in this country as well.
Lots happening. You were just having a chat off air about some very interesting and encouraging developments. You mentioned pies, and I got very excited because I'm quite a fan of pies. But then I realized you were talking about the prevention of illegal eviction. That pie, that one.
And what everybody always forgets, the tail end of the act's name, it was the Prevention of Illegal Eviction and Unlawful Occupation of Land Act. And so it also prohibits unlawful occupation of land. Unfortunately, pie also made it at the time quite difficult for landowners who've had land invasions, or anybody who's got somebody, even a tenant who's overstayed his welcome, no longer paying rent. And it had all these requirements on an owner that you would have to at least find them somewhere else to live, which is you're already the victim, and now as the victim of these people invading your land, you now also have the onerous burden of having to show the court that they've got somewhere to go to. And so that's been a bit of a problem. And it's really, really, really encouraging that there's a bill being circulated, and there'll be public comment on it, and it'll be returned to Cabinet, I think, in July, where they want to amend the Pie Act and make it so they're going to gear it up a little bit. So if you do unlawfully occupy land, they're going to make the penalties more severe, 2 years or 2 million rand. And then included in the offences, which is really encouraging, is anybody who encourages unlawful occupation of land is guilty of a crime as well.
Wow, so if you incite people to do that.
Yes, anybody who incites invasions. And also, it's bad news for Julius, and also who we must tick the land. And then there's also the fact that anybody who benefits from it is also guilty of a crime. So, you know, as we know, locally here in Stanger, there's been invasions where people have been selling plots of land on land owned by a private landowner. So those people will be guilty of a more defined crime. And then the court, it'll be compulsory for the court in situations like that to order the forfeiture of any benefits that they got. So they'd have to pay whatever money they had by way of fines to the state.
Sure.
So
a multi-pronged revision.
Multi-pronged thing. And I think philosophically it's a very good move because one of the things South Africa's been flirting with is this idea of undermining land rights. And I think it's a good international message that, no, we are serious about people who own their land having full land rights and their land not being taken away. Now, we still have to look at the expropriation without compensation issue that's still there, and it still has to go to court, and I'm pretty sure it's unconstitutional. In fact, I'm 100% sure it's unconstitutional. But all of the pointers are towards us getting back to a regime where we properly respect land rights, and that helps us because as a country, we've obviously realized that we're no good at really creating, and growing our economy, and that we depend hugely on foreign investment. And, you know, if you're not going to have foreign investment, then we definitely won't grow as a country. And you're not going to have foreign investment when you're telling foreigners that if they invest in this country, the government could at any stage take whatever they've invested away, because expropriation doesn't just apply to land. It can apply to a business. It can apply to many things. So the fact that we're bulking up property rights in this country is a really positive sign, and I hope we'll see the benefits of that. We just have to get rid of the very ill-conceived and almost communist notion of expropriation without compensation. But I'm sure that's just going to happen as a matter of course, because that was just a very bad bit of legislation, very politically and ideologically driven and impractical and harmful for the country. So it just feels like we turned a corner now, and in many ways this country's busy turning corners. So that's really positive news. I looked at that and I thought, wow, that came out of the blue. I didn't think the government really had the wherewithal to address this issue properly and the political will to do it, you know, because
obviously this is something that for you is of particular interest, and from your early days as an attorney, this sphere of law has been in the spotlight, eh?
Yeah, we were actually the first lot who dealt with the, you know, after 94, as a legal practitioner, suddenly you couldn't just evict people. You had to go and study this new legislation, and then, you know, shock horror, you've got all these obligations before you can evict somebody from your land, even though it's your land and you've got a title deed. And that did erode property rights in a sense. And I think we're going the other way now, where there's a recognition of the fact that if we don't take property rights seriously, we could easily devolve into a Zimbabwe-style collapsed economy. So it's a good and positive sign.
That is fantastic. We'll take the win. And I see other encouraging, uplifting news and legislation in the papers and online. Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition, Parks Tau, has amended the Consumer Protection Act to protect consumers from spam calls. I don't know about you, Gavin.
No, it's just untenable. I get them on a Saturday morning and a Sunday evening, and any time of the day, and it's just, you know, most of the time I just hang up. But if I do catch the name of the institutional entity that's trying to spam me, I make a mental note never ever to buy anything they sell, ever.
There you go.
And so I don't know who falls for these calls. There must be people that fall for it. But it's utter nonsense, and the sooner that they stamp it out, the better.
Well, apparently now you can, as of right now, you can go onto the NCC website. It's the ncc.org.za. In the top right hand corner, there's a button for e-services. You click on that, and you get through to the opt-out registry. Now, apparently, the new way of doing things is that if you are a proper direct marketer, you know, or a big call center operator in South Africa, you have to now register on this thing. And if you are a consumer or someone who receives these unsolicited calls and you want to opt out from any kind of unsolicited communication or marketing from any of these registered entities, you can go online and you can preemptively block your number, put it on a sort of a a white list.
I'm going to be the first fellow to put his number up there.
You can do it right now, and it's.
I hope it works, really, because it's become untenable. It's outrageous the amount of harassment that you experience on your own telephone.
I'm telling you what, this will go somewhere. Obviously, there are operators that are you get these genuine sort of scammers, and you know operations that are not going to register. They are sort of below the radar, shadowy. But for the large corporates that are pushing out these just robocalls,
it's impossible to go to a corporate-owned retail store and buy anything without giving them your cell phone number or an email address, which is. I mean, first of all, why should that even happen? I mean, what's that got to do with them if you're buying a pair of shoes? You know, and so it's obvious that information has been harvested and sold to these...
that's the thing that irritates you. Because when you're getting calls from businesses that you've never had any dealings with,
yeah,
obviously they've bought your number on some spreadsheet from somewhere.
Precisely.
That can't be right. So the clamping down on that, good, I say. Check it out.
The arc of justice is long, but it's coming.
Yay! We're here for it. And we continue to keep tabs on all of these interesting and exciting developments. Another positive note to end off on, some relief for Tongaat Hulett. I see a bit of an extension in the way of some additional credit.
Yeah, I see they've got a line of credit of 200 million. I don't know how far that goes with a business of that size. It doesn't sound like a lot of money, but at least they've staved off the liquidation for now. But I'm sure that sort of Damocles is still hanging over their necks. And, we just hope they make it, because it's such a massive employer in this area and such a big business. That it, you know, one can only hope that it comes out the other end fine. You know, we ride in Glendale area here, and they've taken huge tracts of land that they've put under sugarcane, and these are all sort of emerging farmers, and I think that's a political sort of football that's going to be an issue if these guys have finally got a whole lot of land under cane. And there's no more, you know, to take it to. So I'd expect that the government also are going to be pretty alive to the fact that this has to succeed.
Well, another story in this space, I see that MoneyWeb writing about it just 2 days ago. They're calling it the sweet escape, the 1.8 billion rand revival of the Gledhow sugar mill.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is a rare recovery in an industry battered by rising input costs and competition from sugar imports. So another encouraging story to follow there.
It's a strange business, this country. We always go to the precipice, and then and then somehow we manage to avoid death. You know,
well, it's a cliffhanger. I tell you what, it keeps you on the edge.
Yeah, never
of
a dull moment in South Africa.
But we're keeping our fingers on the pulse. We'll do another pulse check in a week's time on a Wednesday. And Gavin, for anyone looking to pick your legal mind and to get you on the case when it comes to all manner of legal issues, where can we find you and the team at Kloppers Inc. Polito?
Yeah, we're down at the village on the beachfront there, Sandra Road 25. You can't miss us. We're on the ground floor, big red Kloppers signs everywhere. And the rest is probably just easily attained on the interweb.
There you go. You heard it here on the radio as well. And great coffee down the road. And
our coffee didn't arrive again. I'm going to change.
It's okay. We had a pie.
We had a pie. I'll bring you your coffee. It's probably on the counter like it was last week.
Luckily, I've had a few cups this morning. I'm feeling quite alive. But I'll definitely always room for one more from you, Gavin. And wishing you a wonderful Wednesday. It's Earth Day today, by the way. But we'll pick up the microphone again next week and see where things are landing.
Wonderful. Cheers, Mike.
You heard it on Radio Life and Style. Back to the music. Local.